Again, it is so good to see each and every one of you here. We're certainly glad that you've come our way. And if you're a visitor, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We are always glad that you're here. Of course, as members, obviously, we're glad you're here. You might want to turn your Bibles very quickly to the book of Mark chapter 10. And we'll read just a few short verses here in just a second. But as we approach it, I think this is probably one of those sermons. In fact, this afternoon sermon is going to be one of those as well. That when you look at it, I think probably just about every preacher has one, two, three of these in their, if you will, arsenal of sermons. They're just real basic good things that we need to remember as Christians. We want to talk about this morning the concept of sacrifices and rewards of being a Christian. We realize that virtually any endeavor that we go into, physical, whatever the case may be, that there will be sacrifices that we are going to have to make if we're going to be successful. But the marvelous thing about that is that success brings about rewards, doesn't it? We pick up in Mark chapter 10, verses 28, and we read verses 29 and 30 along with that. Mark chapter 10. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And so Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, with persecution, in the age to come, eternal life." We have parallel passages that you can look at. We won't take time to read right now in Matthew chapter 19, 27 through 29, Luke chapter 18, 28 through 30. But all what we really want to do is to think carefully about Peter's claim. We've left all to follow you. We've left all to follow after you, Lord. Matthew left a very lucrative profession as a tax collector for the Roman Empire to be a disciple of Jesus. We see that in Luke chapter 5. 27 through 28. Peter, his brother Andrew, and of course James and John, the sons of Zebedee, left their profession as fishermen to follow after Jesus. We see that in Matthew chapter 4, 18 and following. Luke, he was a physician. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. He left a prestigious career in order to follow after our Lord. These men and many others throughout the ages since Jesus' time have left what they had in order to follow Christ. I have known people who have literally left a family because of it. Not that they wanted to leave their family, but because their family basically disowned them when they became a Christian. And yet, though they had left all that they had, in our text here, Jesus promised them that their sacrifices, that is to say, the cost of discipleship, would be rewarded. They would be rewarded, as Jesus would say, a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children and land. And in the age to come, he said what? Eternal life. So when we stop and think about what we have to sacrifice, what we may have to give as Christians, it's really a small thing when you measure that up to what we're going to have in becoming a child of God, in being faithful to Him. Think about what Jesus said, a hundredfold now in this time. What was he saying? Were they literally going to have the deed, as you might think of it, to all sorts of houses and lands? And they were going to have, was this the kind of promise that Jesus was making? Well, of course not. What he was saying is, because of your church family relationship, as we might say it today, because of this marvelous family that you're going to be a part of, you can count on brothers and sisters in Christ to be there for you. You're going to be able to know that in many cases, you will be able to go to the home of a Christian, and if you need to have a place to be put up, they'll take care of you. And if you think you're great with your mother and father as they are now, think about all those that will serve in kind of a surrogate form to be your parents too. Oh, what great, great blessings there are. Brethren, God has never called upon man to do anything that he would not ultimately reward us with something even better, something greater. God has never said, I want you to do this, and there is absolutely no value in it for you. Rather, the case is just the opposite, isn't it? The case is just totally the opposite from that. God said, when I ask of you something great, I'll give you something even greater. I am going to reward you for your willingness to sacrifice for me. So in this lesson this morning, we want to look at basically three simple points. I'm holding up four fingers. Three simple points, aren't we? Number one, we have left all. That's number one. Number two, we want to talk about the sacrifice or the cost and the rewards of the day, and finally the sacrifice and the cost of the rewards in eternity. And I hope as we go through this, it's going to be something that is really going to be encouraging to us to realize that it's not just about a sacrifice. Oh, you've called upon me to do so much, God. Look at what I'm having to pay. But rather, yes, I'm going to sacrifice. There's a cost to be a child of God, but there's a great reward in it too. Number one, let's talk about this. We've left all. That's what Peter said. We've left all to follow you, Lord. And when you look at this, you look at the words of Peter, and at least our first response, at least, I think, is most common for most people at least, is that Peter was self-involved. Oh, look at what I've done. Look at everything we've given up for you, God. Lord, look at this. And there may well have been some of that within Peter. Peter's character at this point in time in his life seemed to be one of self-concern, self-worth, self-involvement, more about Peter than anything else. A little bit on the narcissistic side. And like Peter, many people today probably have that finger pointing in at themselves. Look at me, look at this, look at that. Look what I've had to give up. Look what I've had to sacrifice. But there is some validity. They sacrificed. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with all that we've left. Look what we've given up. Look what we've had to sacrifice. Let's stop and think for a moment about not what I have had to sacrifice, but folks, what about Jesus? Before we start getting so self-involved, before we start looking at ourselves and saying, look at everything about how good I am and what I've done and look what it's cost me, folks, let's look at what it cost Jesus. What did he have to sacrifice? Did he not leave all for us? Stop and think about that. He literally left the exalted state of absolute pure spirit form. And as the Hebrew writer would put it in Hebrews chapter 2, 7 through 9, he literally made himself lower than the angels. The angels were created beings. And Jesus was willing to sacrifice that for us. Jesus was with the Father in heaven, and it did not esteem that position to be the most important thing to be held on to. As the King James rendered it, a thing to be grasped, seized onto, latched onto, and not let go. Philippians chapter 2, 5 and following. Jesus came from the despised city of Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23, Jesus dwelt in Nazareth that the prophecy might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. But it was a despised place. Remember the situation where Philip goes and he finds Nathanael? And he tells Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And do you remember what the response was? Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That is how despised people from that region and that city were. That's how people viewed them. Can anything even good come out of a place like that? And of course, Philip responded by saying, come and see. He left the glories of heaven, made lower than the angels, to be called a Nazarene. He lived a simple life, if you will, of a carpenter's son. We don't get a picture here of Jesus growing up in a palace. Jesus didn't grow up with all the finest foods available to him. Jesus didn't grow up with a robe on his shoulders and a crown on his head and servants waiting on him hand and foot. And to top things off, he would die a horrible death on the cross. And not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Friends and brethren, we too are told that we may well have to give up something. We may have to leave something behind. And sometimes, believe it or not, we may have to give up everything if we're going to be a disciple. If that's what the Lord determines that we need to do. Remember the rich ruler of Luke chapter 18? He says, what shall I do that I might have eternal life? You know, initially, you might look at that and say, hey, he's really interested in eternal life. That's really a top priority for him. That's something important to him. But listen to what Jesus responded by saying, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Remember what happened? He didn't give up everything, did he? The text tells us that he went away sorrowful because he was wealthy, he was rich, he had it, and he looked at that. You mean I have to give up all in order to be a disciple? I don't want to do that. You see, Jesus understood something about this rich ruler. He understood the heart of this rich ruler. He understood that this rich ruler's values and priorities were totally in the wrong place, and that the only way he was going to be able to see eternal life was to give up everything. Jesus even pointed out in Matthew chapter 10, 37 through 38, that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus says sometimes we may have to sacrifice a lot. He understood this concept of we left all. You see, Jesus left everything. And he tells us you may have to sacrifice. Jesus said, though, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can break in and steal, but rather lay up in heaven, for yourself in heaven, those things. May we have the heart that says, I will be willing to leave everything to follow Christ, if that's what's demanded. Whatever is demanded of me, I understand that I'm willing to count that cost and leave it behind. But let's talk now for just a moment about the cost of discipleship versus the rewards or the promises for today. You see, those are important too. Jesus left all that he had. Remember that? He made lower than the angels. But let's talk for just a moment about the idea that he left everything and that the sacrifice was great. Well, guess what? The cost of discipleship is going to cost us something, but the rewards are even better. We could literally exhaust our time for the rest of this lesson, probably listing the blessings of sacrificing for our Lord. How about the forgiveness of our sins while we are here now on earth? How about being a Christian means that we have a family that is greater than anyone can imagine? How about the inner peace that results from being a child of God? How about being a member of the body of Christ, the church, which is the Lord's own body? And these are, I mean, we're just talking about a handful of things that are blessings because we have chosen to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. These are just a handful of rewards. We could go on and on and on. Folks, we're promised that God's sacrifices will be rewarded beyond our true ability to, I think, maybe even comprehend. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again. What a great promise that is. Now, when you look at that, don't look at that from the standpoint of, oh, okay, if I give generously, God's going to make me a rich person. I'm going to have $1 million a year income, or I'm going to have... That's not what he's talking about. He's simply saying when we're ready to sacrifice, when we're willing to sacrifice, guess what happens? I'll give back to you. And I like the way Jesus puts it here. Good measure. You know what a good measure was in that day? A fair deal. If you went to the marketplace and you were buying, we'll just use this as an expression, a bushel of wheat, because you're going to take that home and grind it into flour, you're going to make bread for your family and so on and so forth. You went to the marketplace and you bought that bushel of wheat, a good measure meant that you got a bushel of wheat for the money that you paid for it, not less than. But I want you to notice what Jesus says. This measure, this good measure then, would be pressed down. In other words, all right, you got your bushel, you packed it down, Listen, shaken together, we all know what that does. You take something like that, you begin to shake that bushel basket and shake it a little bit more, and you keep doing this, and everything settles down, and you know what happens next? And running over. That's what God promises us in this life, in this world. And don't think about it, again, on money situation or property situation, but the whole picture of a Christian life. He says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, once you have done the patting down, and you've shaken it together, and it's settled, and you've got this much more room in your bushel basket, the Lord is saying, God is going to take and pile on top of that even more. That's the promise. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is one of my favorites, where Paul tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And then he adds something to that, which is our reasonable service. In other words, yes, we're going to be a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service, and God is going to bless us because of that. When we live sacrificial lives, then we're going to truly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Brethren, that is, at least in my estimation, is when the true physical blessings of life really do start. It's when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Like Moses, we too are called upon to give up the pleasures of sin for a season, that is, this lifetime. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 25. When we lay all down at the Master's feet, we have an abiding promise, if you will, in this life. You know what that is? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Even when every physical sacrifice is demanded of us, we still have earthly benefits that outweigh the cost, that outweigh the sacrifices. And then our third and final point, and the lesson will be yours. The cost of discipleship versus the eternal rewards. And you know, we've talked about, we've left everything, we gave it all up, you were sacrificing. Okay, that's fine, but Jesus did even more. We talked about the cost of discipleship versus the physical or earthly rewards that we have. But let's talk about the most important now, the eternal things. From our text, we learn that our eternal, everlasting reward, when we, for righteousness' sake, sacrifice for the Lord, we learn what they are. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because those things go away. We talked about that just a little bit in our class this morning, didn't we? No matter what I have on the face of this earth, one of these days, it's not going to be mine anymore. Here, Jesus uses terminology that we certainly understand. Things rust, they decay, that time just takes a toll on them. But then he says in verse 20 of Matthew 6, but rather, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where things like rust cannot destroy, moth cannot destroy, thieves can't break in and steal. He says, basically he's telling us our reward is not corruptible. Our eternal reward will not go away. We've been bought with an incorruptible price. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And our eternal inheritance is not corruptible either. It won't go away. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 tells us that if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But you know what he also says there? But if we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit, he says we will reap life everlasting. So when we sacrifice here, When we sow to the Spirit, when we realize that it's not about this world here, but it's about our eternal home. He says you're going to reap something even greater. He talks about sowing to the Spirit. The sowing will necessarily involve sacrifices. Ask any farmer, ask anybody who does that kind of thing. They go out and they plant, they work, they till that soil, they get it ready for the planting. They do everything that they have to do. And then comes the harvest. And that's work too. But what they're looking forward to is that reward, aren't they? They're planting that field in hopes of that great reward. But you know, the comparison dies there. The comparison ends there because you see, a man can go out and he can plant 1,000 acres of cotton. Do all the work necessary to get that land ready. Get out there and plant that cotton. Get everything that you need to do, and then have a terrible year, and his 1,000 acres yields nothing. But with God's promises, we're guaranteed a yield. We're guaranteed a bumper crop, aren't we? There are going to be huge dividends paid in eternity. John chapter 12 and verse 25, Jesus said, "He who hates his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Clearly, an obedient, self-sacrificing life will keep us unto eternal or everlasting life. Paying the price today will mean that we must go into battle for the Lord against error. We're told to fight the good fight of faith, hold on to eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, we must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Yes, there are going to be sacrifices, but the beautiful thing is every time we've talked about sacrifices in this lesson, we've pointed out that the rewards are going to be even greater. The question is, are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to put ourselves on the line? Are we willing to forsake all if that's what Jesus calls us to do? If it means that I must lose my life for my Lord, am I willing to do that? If Jesus says, okay, you've done this much and this much, but I want to know, are you really my disciple? Now it's going to cost you this. Am I willing and ready to pay that as well? That's the question. And of course, I hope we've answered the question for ourselves. Yes, I am. Why? Because I'm looking for something better. I'm looking for a reward in heaven. Not just here. The Lord promises us some of that. But I'm looking for something greater. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to their gospel call, we ask the simple question, why not make that decision today? Are you ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Put your Lord and Savior on baptism? Do you know what you need to do to be saved? Have you been putting it off? And you don't even know why you've been putting it off. But whatever your need may be, to become a Christian because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're ready to repent of your sins, you want to confess His name before men, and you're ready to be baptized to have those sins washed away, or you're a child of God and you've kind of lost sight on the concept of sacrifice and what I'm going to get in return from God, and you're ready to come back. But whatever your need may be, you're looking for a church home, we want you to know we're striving to be what God wants us to be. Not want to be one thing less, not one thing less than what God wants of us. But whatever your need may be, if you need to respond, won't you do that as we stand and sing this song?